Former Fed Chair Paul Volcker has died at age 92. He had a hand in U.S. economic policy for more than three decades, serving both Democratic and Republican administrations. Volcker famously brought high inflation down when he was Fed chair in the 1980s. And more recently, he became known for what we call the Volcker Rule, passed after the 2008 financial crisis and weakened recently by the Trump administration. Derek Thompson is a senior editor at The Atlantic, and he joins us from Washington, as he does each Monday. And Derek, Paul Volcker, as I mentioned, is someone who has worked in a range of capacities, and he also worked with a lot of people. What's been the reaction to his death?
I don't think there's any doubt that he was one of the most important economic figures of the last 50 years. People are calling him a giant of the field, and it's not just because he happened to stand a full 6'7" tall. Conservatives credit him with rescuing the economy from crippling inflation, as you said, the 1970s and early 1980s. But it's also the case that a lot of liberal economists consider him a brilliant economic thinker and one of the most important Fed chairs in recent memory, in large part the Fed chair who sort of created this modern expectation that the chair of the Federal Reserve should be a kind of Wizard of Oz figure with extraordinary power over the economy that both parties defer to.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Volcker's defining achievement was his success in ending that extended period of high inflation after President Jimmy Carter chose him to be the Fed chair back in 1979. And back then, inflation was around 14%. But he wasn't really popular during that time. What exactly did he do, and why was it so controversial during that time?
Yeah, so let's go back to the 1970s. Inflation is skyrocketing. Prices are rising, or were rising then in the 1970s, about 10 times faster than they are in 2019. And policymakers at the time had no idea what to do about it. They didn't even really know what was causing this hyperinflation, or at least rampant inflation. And Volcker becomes chairman of the Federal Reserve in the late 1970s. And he says, this is on us. Us meaning the Federal Reserve. This is not the job of the president to solve. It's not the job of fiscal policy. This is on us. We're going back to Econ 101. Inflation is caused by excessive growth in money and credit. And if you want to fight inflation, you have to shut off the spigot of money and credit. So he comes up with this policy of shock therapy, which drives up interest rates. It drives the economy into a deep recession. Unemployment, as you said, skyrockets. But inflation does come down, and it has stayed down really for the last four decades.
Let's fast forward to President Obama, who chose Volcker to chair the President's Economic Recovery Advisory Board. That was after that 2008 financial crisis, and that led to the creation of what I mentioned as the Volcker Rule. Can you explain what happened there?
Yeah. So the Great Recession of 2007 to 2009 was clearly exacerbated by the activities of investment banks and by the bad bets of investment banks. And a lot of people lost money during the Great Recession. And so Volcker comes along and he has a testimony in front of Congress where he essentially says, look, we need to pass something into law that splits up the kind of banks that can do this activity. We can't have federally insured banks engaging in this kind of risky trading, especially if it's with their own money. So effectively, what he did is he forced a lot of traders to leave investment banks and start their own hedge funds with, you know, principal funding from outside, you know, typical mom and pop commercial checking accounts. So essentially what the Volcker Rule has done in effect is it has split commercial banks, or, you know, federally insured banks that you and I might have our money in, and hedge funds that might engage in riskier trading. And the hope going forward, even though this rule has been weakened by some Trump-era regulation policies. Yes, exactly. Yeah. The hope is that by keeping commercial banks a little more plain vanilla, we won't have another economic crisis that's as deep.
As you mentioned, people hold his name in high esteem. But what do you think will be Paul Volcker's legacy? And what lessons do you think current Fed chairs will take from his life?
I think there are three main parts to his legacy. The first part is that, as I said, today we treat the Fed chair as a kind of supra-political, above politics, Wizard of Oz figure who we look to save the economy. And leaders from both parties do this. Leaders from both parties often defer to the central bank to make really important decisions about the future of the economy. This, in many ways, is an outcome of Volcker being seen as successful in breaking the back of inflation in the early 1980s. That leads to number two. He did break the back of inflation. And if you look at inflation over the last four decades, it's been really low. This is a part of the world that we deal with. with, which is relatively and sometimes surprisingly low inflation. But there's also a dark side to Volcker's legacy that's important to point out. You know, here you have an unelected elite who in the early 1980s, many people saw as purposely crashing the economy. And millions of people lost their jobs. Unemployment soared to 10%. Farmers protested. Construction workers sent 2x4s to the Fed's headquarters to urge them to stop this policy of shock therapy. And so in many ways, I think a lot of people look back to this era of the early 1980s as the beginning of a neoliberal technocratic era that we're just now potentially emerging from. So it's a complex legacy, but in many ways we're still living with it.
Yes. Derek Thompson, senior editor of The Atlantic, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.